It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. It's been a bumpy week for Dallas-based Southwest Airlines. This week, a computer outage took down its website, forcing 1,300 flight cancellations and stranding passengers and crews. Then, despite a record second quarter profit, its stock price fell. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports that today, hundreds of union members picketed at Love Field over stalled contract talks.
As a Southwest 737 flew overhead near Dallas Love Field, union mechanics marched this morning to vent their frustration. They've been working now 4 years without a contract.
All the contracts now have degraded to the point that they're under federal mediation.
Louis Key is the national director for the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association, the union for Southwest mechanics.
We're all frustrated that they're going nowhere, which seems absurd to us given the record profits the company is making.
Yesterday, Southwest Airlines reported a second quarter profit of $820 million. Key says other carriers have given employees raises after profitable quarters, not Southwest. In addition to pay, Key's also worried about job protection.
As airlines outsource more and more work, we have to protect those jobs. Southwest sends many of their airplanes to El Salvador for their heavy maintenance work.
Key was joined by fellow flight attendants and pilots who've also gone years without a contract. As they picketed, managers worked to fix other problems. Wednesday's computer outage forced yet another 300 flight cancellations this morning. That's after 1,000 cancellations the past 2 days. Southwest refused to comment on air. In a statement, the company said thousands of customers were inconvenienced across the system, certainly not the level of customer service, quote, we strive to deliver. As for the drop in Southwest stock price, more than 10% over just 2 days, the company said it doesn't comment on stock prices. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
We'll turn now to a recollection of the shootings in downtown Dallas 2 weeks ago. KERA News intern Javier Girabet has dreamed of being a journalistic first responder since he was a child. On July 7th, he got to cross that off his bucket list. And for a moment, he thought it was the last thing he'd ever do.
The demonstration began at 7 p.m. in a park called Belo Garden. Activists and religious leaders spoke and condemned the killings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling.
Stand up, Dallas! Texas got to stand up. We can't come together just when there's a killer.
A peaceful march began around 8:15.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom!
It is our duty to fight for our freedom!
It was sundown, close to 9. I paused next to the Bank of America building, set my phone down on a metal sign, and adjusted my camera settings. As it got darker, the street was almost empty. A breeze kicked up. Then, several consecutive loud bangs. I was confused at first, but as soon as I saw police officers running for cover, I realized those bangs were gunshots. I hit record on my iPhone and crouched behind that metal sign, not knowing whether I was out of the shooter's range. Cops tried to aim their rifles while taking cover behind their cars. One officer saw me and yelled, "Run back! Get out of here!" Unaware that I was leaving my phone behind, I ducked into the nearest police car. I waited. Then, I ran towards Belo Garden and noticed a news van of the local Univision TV station. I saw reporter Laura Cruces and asked to borrow her phone to check in with my editor at KERA and with KUVN's news anchor, Ana Maria Vargas. She's my mother. I hunkered down with Cruces and photographer William Castro inside the van until the scene was declared safe. The three of us sat inside the van for 7 hours. Twitter and the radio kept us updated about the standoff and the rumors of bombs in the area.
The suspect is deceased.
After police confirmed that the shooter had been killed, I got out of the van. An officer rescued my cell phone, but my car was still stuck behind crime scene tape. I walked a mile back to KERA, arrived at 6 a.m., and crashed on a couch. I wouldn't get to reclaim my car for 4 days. And when I did, it came with a little souvenir. Holes, where a bullet pierced through the front bumper. For KERA News, I'm Javier Girabet.
For 2 years now, a tiny Dallas theater troupe has been performing Shakespeare's plays in unusual outdoor locations. They do each show only twice, so the performances are popular and very hard to get into. I sat down with Art and Sieg's Jerome Weeks to talk about what it's like downing some draft beer while the bard gets performed all around you.
Justin, I'm going to play a bit of outdoor Shakespeare recorded a few months ago. It's from a speech that normally doesn't get anything like the response it gets here.
All the world's at stake. All the men and women are merely players. They have their entrances and their exits. And one man in his time plays many parts.
Oh, that's from the comedy As You Like It, right?
Right. That's the character Jaques. It's his famous speech, The Seven Ages of Man, when he muses on how we all grow up, grow old, grow feeble, and die.
Not exactly the stuff I'd be greeting with cheers from.
Right. So we can draw three possible conclusions here. This isn't your typical outdoor Shakespeare. This isn't your typical Shakespeare audience. Or some of the audience may be drunk.
Why drunk?
It's a performance by the group Shakespeare in the Bar.
How much alcohol was involved with this production?
This is Shakespeare performed in a bar. Now, the basic idea may sound like we're not snobby high art, we're in a bar. But for all the prestige we've granted Shakespeare, that's basically where he did his plays. His Globe Theater was built in the middle of whorehouses and pubs. And Shakespeare in a Bar plays up that whole carnival mood. They have a local brass band play. Hit the play button. They're the 8th Street Orchestra, and it's amazing how much a live band like that just signals to you, this is going to be silly fun.
So you've got beer, you've got a band, and a lively crowd. I'm wondering, though, how was the Shakespeare?
Good question. When Shakespeare in the Bar started 2 years ago, I was wary of it as a novelty. I mean, outdoor Shakespeare in general tends to be kind of simple, and it tends to lean on the pleasures of being just outside on a summer night.
Like going to a rock concert outdoors or enjoying a picnic.
Right. And there is some playing to the audience with Shakespeare in the Bar. But I hadn't counted on the real affection you feel watching actors having the time of their lives a few feet away. Shakespeare in the Bar is only done on Mondays because some of the actors are in regular shows. So these are young performers doing this only once or twice. And they deliberately have rehearsed it maybe twice.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
There are stumbles, I admit, but it's that feeling of actors knowing they have this chance to go for broke. All that lends a real freshness here. I asked Catherine Bourne, one of the group's founders, about this. She was trained in an acting technique that stresses knowing your lines, knowing your character, and then kind of winging it.
And I found that really freeing. A freedom from what I'd done before, which was very, very planned, right down to the second.
So it's like improv Shakespeare.
Yeah, almost. Now, it's easy to overstate the significance here. Shakespeare in the Bar shows are packed, but the group has done mostly comedies, mostly audience pleasers. They're staged in the courtyards behind the Wild Detectives or Eight Bells Alehouse, and those hold 350 people tops. So this isn't a huge audience. But Bourne and her friends have done all this with a very spirited style and very little else. They have no office, no theater, no sets. Everything is done through Facebook and Twitter. But they attract a millennial crowd that many arts groups would sell their marketing departments for. Monday night's show is Romeo and Juliet, and it's already sold out. But they keep 50 tickets for walk-ups starting at 5 p.m.
So there's still a chance.
Yep, that's because Bourne has also figured out how Dallas works.
Dallas loves a party, and they love to be able to say, oh yeah, I was there on that night. It was really hard to get in.
Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Justin.
Tyler is under heat advisory until 7 tomorrow night. Otherwise, mostly clear skies this evening with a low around 80. Tomorrow, sunny with the high near 100. It's currently 99 degrees in Dallas, 100 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.